You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I got my man Tom Moore with me. Tom, this is what, you're like your fourth, fifth time on this podcast?
Maybe fourth. I'm not sure. It might be fourth, yeah.
Okay.
I'm your plan G. Nah. If you can't get an A, B, C, D, E, or F.
You're plan Z, bro. Plan Z.
I like to give myself too much credit.
Nah, you deserve a lot of credit. But, hey, we're here today to talk about Monday's game. I mean, you know, Monday's game was, wow, the Sixers lost 109-84 to the Utah Jazz. It was the Sixers' eighth consecutive loss to the Jazz. It's their 10th consecutive loss dating back to last season. And it's their 43rd loss in the months of October and November since November the 22nd, 2013.
We have that memorized pretty well by now. We go through that a few times.
I know.
Yeah, I think Jahlil Okafor called it flat, and I thought that was a good word for it. The Sixers just didn't seem like they had much juice tonight with few exceptions. It just seemed like kind of this wasn't their night. And the size, I think, of the Jazz really bothered him with Gobert and Favors inside really gave him a hard time. A lot of guys were pump faking and afraid to shoot, things like that. And, it was one of the worst nights of the year so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, so far. I mean, they were down by 28 at one point. The thing is, to me, the thing that really stood out, and we knew it was going to happen, teams are sort of going to figure out they're going to figure out Joel Embiid and realize that they have to double him. And then you have one real legitimate shooter on the floor, and that's Ersan Ilyasova. So they take both of these guys out their games. They harass Embiid and Ilyasova. They basically, you know, keep a man in front of them. And to me, that was the game.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. You're right. Anytime Embiid brought the ball down, there were sometimes more than one guy there, and he just couldn't get anything kind of established. At least in the first half, he had a couple buckets there in the second half where he looked like he was getting a little bit of his confidence back. But yeah, Ilyasova shot 2 for 12, 1 for 5 on threes, and you're right. They kind of made the Sixers have to do other things, and at this point, they're really not ready to be successful when they don't have their best guys able to do what they like to do.
Exactly, and I think the big problem is going to be for them with Embiid is the fact, I mean, like you said, every time he put the ball down, they were doubling him, at least doubling him. When he was trying to shoot three-pointers, they were running a guy at him, like running him off the spot. And when you do that and you don't have anyone else stepping up, and the fact that, like, he's, you know, lack of a better word, panicking when the double team comes, I mean, that's going to be tough for the Sixers because they lose a lot when he's not effective.
No, I agree. And I think when he gets the ball, he's got to either react right away, make a move before the double team comes, or when a double team, he's got to pass, he's got to find a guy and lock into somebody and get ready to pass it because somebody's open. And it may not be the first guy he passes it to, but that guy throws it in the corner, somebody should be open for three or at least an open jumper. And they can get good shots out of this, but, you know, Embiid, you know, has played 3 years of organized basketball, and he's very, very raw.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Now, on the positive side for the Sixers, you know, is Robert Covington. I mean, he finally, you know, stepped out of his shooting slump, so to speak. I mean, he was 4 for 5 overall, 3 for 4 in threes. He had 12 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good sign for the Sixers moving forward.
For sure. Yeah, his defense has been much better, I thought, but I believe he was 5 of 30 going into Monday night's game and hitting 3 of 4, and he just kind of looked more like himself, you know, mm-hmm. like he was before. He looked more confident when he shot the ball. I mean, Saturday night against the Cavs, they weren't even running anybody at him at three-point line, and sometimes he was passing shots up, which you can't as a shooter. You just can't mm-hmm. do that. So he looked like, you know, Monday night might be kind of a step back in, you know, right direction, And if he can have another good night shooting the ball Wednesday against the Pacers, you know, maybe he is back, because they have so few, as you said. Ilyasova and Covington are really the only three-point threats they have. And if one of those guys isn't shooting well, Covington had been in a slump all season. Ilyasova had a tough night, 1 for 5 on Monday. So they really need to have everything going. I also thought, you know, the ball handling, you know, they really struggled. 16 assists, 18 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been able, Keith, they haven't been able to get running all year. They had 6 fast break points. They only had 1 late in the third quarter. And we all know this is not a good half-court team. So if they're not getting easy baskets, you know they're struggling to score.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, right now you look at it, you know, Jahlil Okafor, he had a team-high 15 points. You know, he was 7 for 14. But like most of them, they struggled on the defensive end from preventing, you know, the Utah Jazz from scoring.
Yeah, I thought especially in that first quarter, I thought Okafor's defense had been a little better this year. But when Embiid went out of the game about 4.5 minutes into it Monday night, and Okafor was playing center, I think the first 3 possessions were 2 dunks and a layup. They went right to the rim. They attacked. And that's what I think teams are going to try to do. So he's going to have to foul them or get some blocks, or they're going to have to play better perimeter defense or something. Offensively, you know, he had a couple dunks. He looks like he's getting a bounce and a step back a little bit. You know, I thought that was encouraging. And he was 7 for 11 Saturday night against Cleveland. So he really, you know, he looks like the offense is coming around, but he's got to still work on that defensive end.
And also, you know, there's something that, you know, they talk about, you know, at first they were saying, like, Rashawn Holmes was going to be helpful. He was going to help the team out. But it seems like as Embiid and Okafor's minutes go up, Rashawn Holmes' minutes go down. And he really, like, it's a point, like, you would think that there's chances that, you know, you can, like, he didn't play on Saturday. On Monday, he played 5 minutes. But his shot blocking, he's one of their better defenders now that Jeremy Grant is gone.
And so, with
Noel being hurt.
Right.
And it just seems like, you know, it's tough for the Sixers, but it just seems like you really need to get him more involved in the game.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he didn't play at all Saturday. Tonight, there was some foul trouble with both Embiid and Okafor, and I think that may have led to him getting some minutes earlier. Ironically, he was the only Sixer with a positive plus-minus. He was +1. Ilyasova was -21, and Okafor -19.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I agree, and you know, I don't see why he couldn't play a little bit of 4. I think he could, even if the 5, you know, is locked up. Maybe he could get a few minutes at 5, few minutes at 4, because I think you're right, Keith. I think he can do some things to help this team at both ends of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you don't have a lot of guys like that. I think he needs to be on the court 10 or 12 minutes, see what he's doing. If he's having a good night, maybe more. If he's having a bad night, maybe less. But you know, I think he needs to get out there, especially with no Noel and no Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and the reason why it's glaring to me is because, let's face it, earlier in the season we kept saying they have 3 quality centers. Oh no, we have 4.
Yeah.
We have 4. And then it got to the point where, you know, he was playing well and someone was like, well, you know, but he's doing that against, you know, the backups or guys who are going to be in the D League in the preseason. Oh, no, he's a good guy. And now it's getting to the fact that he's not playing. You know what I mean? But you really need him now. And it's just, you know, that's something. And I know, like, when we talked to Brett Brown on Sunday, you know, he mentioned to us that, yeah, you know, I really need to get him in there more, you know, in hindsight. But it just seems like you said before, if those two guys, Embiid and Okafor, weren't in foul trouble, he wouldn't have got those 5 minutes probably.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And yeah, I think you can find a way to get him in there for a few minutes and just see if he can make a difference, see if he can make plays at either end of the court, and maybe then he should get more time. But I think it's worth it. I mean, he was our leading scorer for most of the preseason. He came into Monday's game shooting 70% from the field, averaging 8.3 points, and he's only playing about 16 minutes. So he's getting things done when he's on the court.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving forward, what do you expect for Wednesday's night game at Indiana? Indiana isn't playing very well right now, but they do have a veteran ball club.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. I think Eliasova does help, you know, with his experience, and, you know, Rodriguez, you know, running the team with his experience. But, you know, these teams go to their benches, and, you know, you look at Monday night with the Jazz, even with some injuries, you know, they're trotting out Joe Johnson and, you know, some other guys that have been around in the league. And the Sixers are, you know, a lot of young, still second, third-year guys. And, you know, that's glaring. I mean, you look at plus-minuses as a group Monday night, Keith. The starters were minus 39. The bench was minus 86. So, I mean, they're just getting hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see whatever is going, even if it's not going well with starters, it's worse with the bench. And yeah. If the starters are close, the bench falls behind. So it's not... It's not working, and I know they're shorthanded, but this is what you're going to have probably for a while.
Yeah, it's what you're going to have, and you know, I understand that, you know, like you said, they're shorthanded. They don't have Ben Simmons playing. Nerlens Noel is in here. But it just, like, right now, this reminds me of the previous three seasons. I mean, just the product on the field. I mean, on the court right now. And, again, you do have Joel Embiid. That's good. You do have Dario Saric. So you have those guys who you really, the fans were waiting to see. But the way they're losing and the way it looks is the same. It's kind of like, you know, certain teams, like they play young ball clubs. The young clubs, they destroy them from the beginning and the game is over. But when they play veteran ball clubs, it's kind of sort of like, okay, we're going to step it up in the third. Or we'll let them hang around. But then when it gets down to the clutch time, there's nothing the Sixers can do to stop us.
Right.
And, you know, that's what it just seems to be to me.
Yeah, there's been two kinds of games this year. Three of the games were pretty one-sided where the Sixers, you know, just fell behind in the third quarter and couldn't catch up and double-digit losses. And then three games down to the wire, and they, you know, when they're close, they have nobody who can make a shot. They can't even get – last two games, they didn't get a shot in the last minute of either game. I mean, you can't win. Saturday night, six turnovers in the last 3:09. I mean, one shot in that time. I don't care who you're playing. You're not going to beat anybody.
Mm-mm.
So they need to figure something out. Find a way to get a shot, because you don't have a chance to score if you can't get the ball to the rim. If you're turning it over and, you know, the other team's stealing it or dribbling out of bounds or throwing it away, you have no chance.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. But, hey, on the positives, like we said, at least they could say Robert Covington is playing better. Joel Embiid, you know, he can look at this as a learning experience, because, you know, it just seems like when we talk to him, you get the gist that this guy is never satisfied and he always wants to work on his weaknesses. So, I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess they're going to have to, when he gets the ball, just come at him hard, try to knock it out of his hands, try to force them to make better decisions. But at the same time, guys need to make shots. You know, it's like he can pass the ball to them, but if they're not hitting threes, it doesn't mean anything, you know?
He'll pass the ball, but at a certain point when guys are, you know, aren't making shots, he's going to take on double teams, because he figures, and Iverson used to do this too, sometimes you figure me against the world is better than me giving to guys and seeing them miss shots, you know?
Exactly.
So I can see that happening. But that's why Covington and Eliasova are so important.
Yeah, they're very important. But, Tom, man, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. I can't really make fun of your football team, because my football team is Pitt Panthers.
Both our teams got smoked last weekend.
Yeah, got smoked, and you know, who knows? I wish I could brag when ACC basketball starts, but Pitt's so bad, I hope they don't kick us out the league for both sports. But, you know, I just want to thank you for, you know, assisting me on this podcast. And, you know, I'm going to keep having you come on, and I'm going to keep joking and making fun of Syracuse, if that's okay with you.
Why should things change now, Keith? It's no problem.
Okay, buddy. Have a nice one, man.
You too.
Thanks for joining, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.